The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, world. This is Trish Adora, your Pan-African World Diaspora Champion, and you are listening to John Orlando on the PVDcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVDcast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 315. I hope all is well with you, and I'd like to thank you for checking out this very unique episode of the PVDcast. Trust me, it is going to be unique, and I'm going to kind of explain the background and the quote-unquote rules of this episode. But before I do that, I'd like to mention who my guest is, who is joining me on this episode. And he is the ring announcer for OWA Wrestling, and he's starting to branch out and do some ring announcing for Unsanctioned Pro and some other organizations. He is Weapon X Will. Will has not been on the PVDcast in a while. And we were talking over the holiday break that we were going to have to fix that. And I thought to myself, if Will's coming back after a long absence, maybe we should do something that I haven't done on this podcast in almost 5 or 6 years now. And the concept that I'm talking about is something that I used to call Book It, where I would invite a guest on, and both my guest and I would present what our ideas would be if we were in charge of running a particular wrestling promotion or territory in a given year. For an example, World Class Championship Wrestling 1987. So my guest and I will talk about the roster, the feud, the big events, the storylines, etc., etc. So for this installment, I have decreed that Will and I will be presenting our take on running a wrestling promotion. And I called it Lottery Pro Wrestling, kind of a little bit as a joke, because, you know, we would have to hit the lottery for a lot of money in order to do this. Because ask your local billionaire and you'll find out that running a wrestling company is very expensive. Anyways, one more set of rules real quick to explain before we get into the episode, that we are given the opportunity to sign 8 male competitors, 4 female competitors, and 2 tag teams each. And basically, we're kind of running it like Vern Gagne used to book the AWA, where he would have his 8 core wrestlers and then just fill in with indie talent and people from other promotions. I kind of expanded things out a little bit by not only just focusing on 8 male competitors, but also 4 female competitors and 2 tag teams. So the lists are going to be interesting. They're going to be unique. These are our thoughts, our opinions, our insights on if we hit the lottery and we opened up Lottery Pro Wrestling, this is the talent you would see in our rings. But before we get to that, I need to let you know once again that this episode is brought to you by the fine folks of World's Greatest Comics. They have everything you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, posters. They've got a friendly staff. They got a great store. It's a 5-star comic book store. That's all you need to know. So if you're in the Central Ohio area, please stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But if you're out of the area, you could check them out online. They have a great website. It's wgcomics.com. And they're even on Facebook. Just search for @WGComics. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear Weapon X, Will, and I present our rosters for Lottery Pro Wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, I am sitting down this evening with my colleague from OWA, Weapon X, Will. Will, how's it going, man?
It's going well, man. It's Friday. We got a long weekend ahead of us and some good independent professional wrestling action taking place as well. So, I got no complaints.
Yeah, most definitely. You spent some time last weekend at the Unsanctioned Pro wrestling show here in Columbus. Just overall, how was the show?
Yeah, it's really good. Another opportunity for me to hone in on those ring announcing skills, and I feel like I'm getting better each and every show. So, action was really good. Show was great. So, we're rolling right along and into February. Another opportunity for us to sit down and at OWA on February 20th. So that'll something I'm really looking forward to as well.
Same here, man. Same here. Before we I explain a little bit about this episode, I want to talk about that you are on two other podcasts as well. You are on the Unsanctioned Pro podcast, and of course you also handle the news section for Pro Wrestling Ponderings. You want to let folks know what they can expect when they tune in and where they can hear the podcasts and whatnot?
Yeah, so I do the Unsanctioned Pro podcast for their Patreon subscribers, and that's kind of just depends on what the promoter's looking for the month. The Patreon members pay a monthly fee to access, some of that content. So we try to give them interviews, roundtables. Right now we're doing one episode per month. We're trying to shift that to two per month, maybe one every other week, to kind of give them a little more bang for their buck. They are paying customers, so one per month, there's other benefits that come with the Patreon subscription as well. It's not just for the podcast, there's ticket deals and so on and so forth, but just trying to give them as much content as possible. And then I do the newscast for PW Ponderings, which is a independent wrestling website that mostly focuses on articles about results and upcoming cards, where you can kind of find out what's going on for that upcoming weekend. So we kind of do a newscast episode where we break down the upcoming weekend, talk a little bit about the weekend that was, different little segments. And I think we're approaching like 11,000 followers on Twitter. So it's got a pretty good following, and the podcast has been doing really well. So it's good stuff.
And where can folks find those two podcasts?
Oh, the Unsanctioned Pro podcast is only on their Patreon right now. And I think, you'd be best off following them at Unsanctioned Pro on Twitter to get that information. They do put some of it on YouTube as well, on the Unsanctioned Pro YouTube page. I think they've uploaded a couple episodes on there after the Patreon members get an opportunity to get first dibs. And the other one, PW Ponderings on Twitter. They post every episode to Twitter. It's kind of the easiest place. I know they are also on Spotify as PW Ponderings, but they have several branch off different little sections on Spotify. So you might not catch the newscast as easy if you go to Spotify. I think they have like IWTV Guide. They do a bunch of interviews. So they kind of have everything under one umbrella if you're looking on podcast sites. But if you go to the actual Twitter account of PW Ponderings, that's where you'll find like most of the newscast stuff and the results and headlines and things like that.
All right, cool, man. Well, before we jump into it, Will, I want to let the listeners know just what the heck we're doing here, because it's kind of going to be a different take on this episode of the PVD cast. And so I'm just going to back up in the history of my podcast. Way back in its infancy, I used to do these episodes called Book It, in which kind of was a little bit of a play on word, the Booker and Book It from Pizza Hut fame and whatnot. And my guest and I would pick a particular promotion. We'd pick a particular year, and we'd talk about what we would do with the talent and book matches and whatnot. And I was surprised, to be honest, Will, it's been forever. Episode 30, I think, was the last time I did this. So it's been a very, very long time. But I figured that it would be very fitting, since, Will, you haven't been on in a while, to do this. So we're going to dust this off, and I'm going to call this episode Book It Lottery Pro Wrestling. And why am I calling it that? Well, the premise of this little activity is that Will and I are going to pretend that we've hit the lottery for a substantial amount of money, and we're going to build a promotion. And we're going to build it kind of a like the territory system, if you will, where we're going to have eight male wrestlers who we would use primarily in spotlight events and whatnot. We would have four female wrestlers and two tag teams. And then the rest of the time while we were doing television tapings or whatnot, much like the territory did, we would just fill in with other people from other promotions and whatnot. But so we're looking at just the eight featured performers for the men, the four featured performers for the women, and two tag teams. And the other twist was nobody under contract to WWE, AEW, Impact, New Japan, though I did leave MLW out of that list because I'll be honest, I'm not sure what their contracts are like. And I don't know, Will, maybe you can shed some light on that. Are their contracts a little more, what's the word I'm looking for? A little more set in stone, if you will, or is there some flexibility?
Because I think they're a little more lenient in terms of independent bookings. But I know some of their guys don't work a lot of other independent stuff. And I don't know if that's based on the monetary amount of their contracts. I tend to think that's not the case, but some of their guys don't work a lot of other places, but some of them do and have been a little bit more frequently. And I think it sounds like from the information I gathered, like every contract is a little bit unique in terms of where people can still continue to work. I seen Alexander Hammerstone work in a couple places recently. And so it kind of varies, but I don't know that they have anybody that they don't allow to do a lot of other things.
That's what I thought. So they're the talent that's in MLW is eligible for our little lottery pro wrestling here. So Will, let's go ahead and start, and then we'll give our the description of our talent, and then we'll kind of talk why we selected them and whatnot. So shall we start with the ladies?
Are we going back and forth 1-1, or are we going all four, then all four?
Let's go 1-1. Let's try it that way.
Okay.
All right. So you go ahead and name your first person that you would select for the women's division.
Yeah. So my number one pick from the women's division, and these aren't necessarily in order by who I thought would be best. I think I just selected four and put them in a list, but not necessarily in order. But for me, it would have to be Willow Nightingale, who primarily works up at Beyond Wrestling. Does a lot of other stuff in like the New York area. Had a couple opportunities at Ring of Honor. She had a couple opportunities at Impact this year. She had a couple opportunities AEW Dark. I think she did a couple things in MLW as well. So she's kind of been all over the place, but not necessarily signed per se or locked down anywhere. But she's primarily in the Northeast and tremendous talent.
I got to be honest with you, and you know what? You and I said it off air. This was hard to construct these lists because there's so much talent.
And it's insanely difficult.
If you look at my list, you would see eraser marks where I actually had Willow penciled in two on mine. I changed it, but I really like Willow Nightingale. She is a great babyface performer, and I know that people cringe and I don't know. Sometimes people are like, "Oh, great baby feet." But look, you need that in wrestling. You need that person that you could get behind. And I think with Willow, she has that. I hate to say that she's like Bayley, but she kind of is. But we need that. You need that in a women's division. You need somebody that girls can relate to, that fans can enjoy. And she does great work too, man. So, I mean, I think she's a total package overall.
Yeah, I think if you were to do the same concept a year from now, you probably don't have the option to select her, would probably Absolutely. Be my guess.
I would agree with that, but that's a solid pick, man. I am going to select for my first pick in the women's division. I'm going to go Miranda Gordy. I think that she is got the name recognition, obviously, so you could play up the, you know, the second generation Terry's kid, yada yada yada, but I think she's also pretty solid in the ring. She's got a different look. She's not like many other female competitors. And I think that you would be somebody that you could certainly build a division around.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Somebody that I didn't consider. Not somebody that I see a lot of work out of. I know she has done or is getting ready to do MLW date coming up. Has a strong appearance, you know, in terms of where she would fit in that women's division. And yeah, I could totally see the experience there is where, yeah. The appeal and the experience. So I definitely can support that pick as well.
All right. How about your second one?
For me, this is somebody who you and I have seen up close and in person, probably had one of the best 2021s of any wrestler, period, male or female. But I went with Trisha Dora at number two here. I think that she absolutely set the world on fire in 2021 in terms of where she was and where she appeared. And somebody who hasn't really been doing it very long to kind of make that name for herself. And she was nominated for IWTV, I think, Breakout Star for 2021. So she's been killing it everywhere. And I think it's a no-brainer pick.
Agreed. I had her on my list. And then I was like, I want to put another person in that slot. It was real tough, but yeah, I agree. Trisha Dora is the real deal. And I mean, we could sit here and talk all for 10 minutes probably on Trish. I just say, I agree with you 100%. My second pick is somebody that I have worked some shows with and I think is very super talented and has a very good character to fall back on as well. So not only great ring work, but a great character. I would place Katie Arquette in my women's division. I really dig the concept of I'm the niece of David Arquette and playing up that whole name recognition, but also still being able to get it done in the ring.
Just saw her last night at AIW, as a matter of fact.
Okay, cool, man.
You wrestled Megan Myers, I believe, was on the, was the card last night. So good stuff out of her there. And, yeah, it makes sense. And she's, what, somewhat regional, right?
Yeah, yeah.
As she's well.
Pittsburgh.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so that fits. My third pick was somebody who I thought was set to have a really good year, and then they got injured, and then they took even more time off after the injury. But that would be Killer Kelly, who I thought was incredibly talented in misused during her NXT and NXT UK time. Then she came out of that and started to really hit the ground running in the independent scene, and then got hurt and then took some additional time off after the injury. But I believe she is coming back relatively soon. So that is someone who I expect in the early to mid of 2022 to really be all over the place as I kind of thought she was going to be.
Okay. I got to be honest. That's kind of one that flies under the radar with all due respect to her. You know what I mean? I kind of forgot about her. I hate to say that, but yeah
for sure.
Definitely she has a great look. She has kind of that MMA background a little bit, if you will. She's very uber talented. So that's a good pick, man. For my third pick, because I think you need somebody that's got some personality, somebody that can certainly fire up a crowd, I would pick Session Moth Martina as my third
excellent
pick. Yeah, I think you need a little bit of entertainment value. Her character is unique, and I think that it would certainly be over with the crowd. I mean, let's just be honest. I think that, looking back at her career, which sadly I think, because if I'm not mistaken, she was all set to do a lot with Ring of Honor and then COVID hit, correct, Will?
That is correct.
And she got stuck over in England. So I think that she would also be a fresh face that not a lot of people, especially casual fans, have never seen. And I think her antics would be very entertaining and would bring something different to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, she was here she did an AIW show in, I think, 2019. And it was just crazy, like crazy atmosphere. A lot of people were super into it. So, and it had, they had like a great meet and greet beforehand. So it was really, really good time. Yeah, she's tremendous.
All right. How about your fourth and final
selection? My fourth and final was somebody else from that northeast corner of the world. And I went with Davian, who works a lot of Limitless, a lot of Beyond Wrestling. She did stuff at Shimmer. She's also been on AEW Dark. Somebody who I really think is already kind of broke out, but still I think there's room for more exposure in 2022. And I think that we'll be talking about her in the same conversations that we talked about Willow come, you know, this time next year.
Is she still tagging with Hot Scoop Skylar as well?
They have not been lately, but that is where she's kind of had more notoriety, I suppose you could say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So my fourth and final pick is probably going to be the one that's going to cause some buzz and maybe cause some controversy, but I'm going to stand by it. If I was doing this promotion, I need somebody for my my women's division that is a little bit different, has a different character, has a different look. And somebody that I feel, much like Session Moth Martina, never got the chance to show her talent, not because of COVID, but because of some other unfortunate events that happened backstage, I would get Taylor Hendricks.
Okay.
I feel like she had a lot to offer, never got an opportunity to really show that to a wide audience. And, you know, like I said, something different as well, so that, you know, you have four women in my division, all that look different, that all have a different character, that all have something different that they can bring to the table.
Okay. Yeah, that one's way off the radar. And I think just because you haven't seen her wrestle in so long that it kind of, you know, kind of goes a little bit forgotten. But I think
and one of the reasons why she's been missing is she wrote a kid's book. And I think, like, if you're looking at the business aspect of running a promotion, you could hype the hell out of that. You
sure.
know what I mean? Like, not only is she a wrestler and she's dangerous in the ring, but look at this. She can write books and whatnot. Like, I think you could use it somehow, you know? And yeah, I don't think that she wrestles much outside of the California or West Coast area.
And I mean, she also has 140,000 Twitter followers, which in the world of independent wrestling might as well be 10 million, you know?
Yeah,
so that kind of helps as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to tag teams, Will. I'll let you go ahead and get started first and give me your first tag team you would use.
Yeah, this one was the only, I guess the only part that I found to be super easy, because I thought this was a no-brainer, so to speak, especially with the first pick and this first pick is in order. I went with Violence Is Forever as the number one tag team. They are three-time IWTV Tag Team of the Year award winners this year. So kind of a no-brainer. And they also, you know, can also work really well singles if there was some type of, you know, incident or anything, injury, something like that were to happen. They both had phenomenal 2021s, I think, especially with Kevin Koo, really came into his own as a singles guy in 2021. So that one was a no-brainer for me.
Likewise, my first tag team would be number one on the list and also a no-brainer for me. I picked Ross and Marshall, the Von Erich boys.
Okay.
I'm a mark for world-class wrestling. I would certainly use them. I think also, too, you could do something with the Von Erichs and Miranda Gordy. Like, there could be that, you could do that nostalgia factor if you wanted to, you know, oh, look at this, the kids of the Von Erichs and the kids from the Freebirds. Like, you could do something like that too, that would, you know, maybe it wouldn't set box office records, or maybe it would, I don't know. But it would be something that, you know, something fun that you could do with those three.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've done really good work at MLW, and the stuff they did with Tom Lawler and the Filthy Island and all that stuff, that, you know, they were really trying to be creative in the early portions of the pandemic. So I thought they did really good stuff there. That's kind of one of the guys, or a couple of the guys that I was thinking about in the beginning when we were talking about MLW, who I don't necessarily see independently a lot. I feel like those guys are primarily there, but I don't know, you know, what that situation is. But I feel like I don't see them independent a lot.
Yeah, but I think that they both still live in Hawaii, I believe, if I remember correctly. Okay. And I think that's what hinders a lot of their yeah. U.S. appearances.
Yeah, you know? That would explain it.
Okay, my last tag team is a newer tag team, and I think it's really a good character-driven tag team, and I believe that I have the name correct. They're going by The Family. That would be Gino DiCapo and Tommy Irish from OCW. They're doing a mobster gimmick, but they do it very, very well. They're both big guys. They are pretty solid in the ring. Tommy Irish he just talks shit the whole time to the fans, and I dig that. It's some of that old school heat, you know? So I think that I would have them on the roster to build around.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think I'm familiar with them at all. So that one is way off the radar for me. I've not seen them. I would definitely take their names down and take a look and to see what we're missing there. But I have not heard of them. My other tag team pick is someone that you and I are also familiar with from their time at OWA, as well as a couple AIW appearances and AEW Dark. But I thought TME, the main event, I think those guys are just absolutely superstars in the making. I mean, Duke Davis just looks like an action figure, and these guys are just, and their intensity is like so insane. The gimmick's really good. And I remember thinking, you know, I always watch them wrestle and I'm like, yeah, these guys are extremely athletic. They're really talented. But they shot a couple promos for OWA prior to Good Trouble 2, when they were going to wrestle the Tate twins, or maybe that was Good Trouble 1.
That was Good Trouble 1, yeah.
Yeah. And they shot a couple promos there, and I was like, oh, these guys are like actually really funny too, and they do some really good character work. So I they don't expand on that very much, but they do some really funny stuff. So those guys are a no-brainer for me as well. I thought tag team was really easy. You know, I struggled with the women, and I super struggled with the men. I mean, if we did this 10 times over, my list would probably look completely different all 10 times.
Oh, I agree. 100%. Absolutely will.
Yeah. But I think tag teams, I would pick those two every single time, because they just feel like they're slam dunks. But that was it for me when it comes to those guys.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Will for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. As I've said many, many times, they are your one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, comics from every era. They got posters. They got tons of back issues. They got you covered. So if you want to check out the store, swing on by. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can follow them online. They have a great Facebook page at WG Comics and a splendid website as well, WGComics.com. And if you interact with anyone from the store, please let them know that you heard about World's Greatest from yours truly right here on the PVD Cast. I feel like we are going to probably have the same names at least a couple of times when we start here in a minute, when we're running down the male performers that we would have in our promotion. You know, I just know it. So I guess my question is, I'm going to throw it out there. I think we're probably going to end up having three people that we both agree with. What do you think? What's your number? Higher or lower than three?
I think lower. I think we're going to.
Really? Okay.
I think we're going to have one. Maybe two, really? But okay. One, I think, right. is my guess.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead. Let's kick it off, Will. Go ahead. Tell us when you're looking at the male side of the competitors, who would you build around?
Okay. So number one here, I went with somebody who, and this is funny that it went this way, because this is the first person, I guess, that you or I are going to mention from any of the previous WWE releases, which is kind of interesting. Of everything that we, you know, all the people that we talked about before, we didn't mention anybody that was recently released, which is kind of, they've released a lot of really good talent. Like, hey, we haven't said any of these guys yet. But for me, number one would probably be Keith Lee as soon as that availability, which is probably any day now, comes about. You know, how long he's actually available to do independent work remains to be seen. I'm guessing it's probably not long, but you know, just a tremendous competitor. I think this guy gave WWE everything to prove that he was a star in the making, a mega star in the making. I mean, that showdown moment he had with Lesnar and with Roman, Survivor Series, all that stuff. I mean, everything was there, man. It was all laid out, and it just didn't go the way anyone thought it would. But it, you know, he's just a slam dunk.
He was on my list, and then I erased him, and I put down who I would pick from the recent releases. I picked Samoa Joe.
Okay.
Yeah. Instead of Keith Lee, because sure. I felt like with Samoa Joe, Keith Lee is going to be around for a while. You know, I know is he 34, 35?
That I'm not sure.
I think he's in his mid 30s. He's still got some time. I feel like Joe's still got some gas in the tank, but not that much gas, but enough that he could come in, he could put some new guys over, make some people, and still give you that Samoa Joe that we all know and love.
Sure. He was champion less than a year ago, yeah?
Yep, exactly. So go ahead, Will. Go with your second pick.
So I went with a more local guy who, once again, I tried to stick to guys that have come through OWA because we're both familiar with them, but you know, the talent that has come through there in the last 3 years has been, you know, talent that you could put on this list for sure, without a question. And I went with Josh Bishop for that position at two. A guy who, you know, had a great year in 2021, mostly at AIW, did some good stuff at OWA. I think there's more to come for him as far as OWA is concerned. And just recently had a WWE tryout. So this guy is he's poised to make a run, I'd say.
You know, and I think the one thing that you just touched on, you know, look, folks, I know there's going to be some people out there to go, well, geez, Will and John work with some of these guys. And blah, blah. Well, yeah, but I think we're both professional enough, and I'm going to speak for you, Will. I think we're both professional enough to say, hey, you know, this person is talented despite our relationship or not having a relationship with that person. So I'm just going to throw that out there because I just thought about it when you were saying that. I'm like, I bet some people are probably going to say, well, they're kissing up to their friends and blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, you know, these guys, you know, in the grand scheme of things, how many OWA shows have they totally worked, or how many have we even totally worked? So it's not, you know, it's not like they're consistently here. But that's just kind of where.
Yeah. And wait, like I said, judge of talent, man. I mean, sure. You can be a judge of talent, you know, and still be amicable and friendly with folks. So, you know, so if you got that idea in your head, get it out of your head because you're stupid. There you go. Probably going to get hate emails for that. But anyways, all right. My second pick, actually, this was the first name I put down on this list, no matter the division. And again, just what I said, I am very high on this individual. The revolutionary Darius Lockhart would be a selection for me. The dude, I think, has got a great character. I think if you talk to him and you also watch his promos, you see that he. I feel like Darius Lockhart, the wrestler, and Darius Lockhart, the man, are just they're the same. It's just that, you know, like we've heard so many times, where you take your personality, just turn it up a few clicks, and I like that. I guess you could say it's genuine. I guess would be the best adjective for it, but I like him in the ring. I like him out of the ring. Just he's to me just an awesome performer, hands down.
Yeah, well, I don't have to say number three now because that was my number three as well. So,
okay.
Absolutely tremendous. it's still somewhat underrated, I think, to an extent. The promo material that he was putting out for NWA was just, I mean, next level. That stuff right there is not even, you know, there's TV performers not putting out quality content like that. And that stuck with me for, you know, he could lose every match the rest of his career, and I would still be hung up on how good that character work, and that those NWA promos were just fantastic. And he willed himself into that position, because I remember, you know, when those conversations kind of began between NWA and him, it was on Twitter and responses to Twitter. And then, you know, he started filling them with quality promos that kind of led them to no decision. You know, they had to take them on. So I like when people do that, when people, you know, kind of shoot their shot, but then they also come out with content that's so undeniable that promotion or that opportunity, you know, is left with no choice. And it's like, oh, now we have to take this guy because this is too good to pass up on.
I think that's the only, if I got to say there's a negative with Darius, is I think just what you said is the only negative, is that I don't think that some people get the character or get the promos, because you said it's next level. It is very, very philosophical. It is very, very based in the real world and based in history. And I think, Will, that's the only negative I could say about him, is that I get the character. I love the character, you know, but I also have a degree in history, so I understand it. You know what I mean? And I just wonder if, you know, it's so, what's the word I'm looking for? So niche. I hate to use that term, but that might be a drawback to him moving on up, you know, the ladder. But I hope he does. I hope we see Darius Lockhart in a major company here soon, and he's super successful, and he deserves all that success.
Yeah, absolutely. Tremendous, tremendous talent. Yeah, I'll just move to four then, since we agreed on three, which was shocking. That was the one that I didn't think we would combine on. There's one other one that I think we might, and we'll see. But for number four for me would be Alec Price, who does a lot of stuff at Beyond and Limitless Wrestling up in Maine. He's their champion currently. Had a breakout year in 2021. He was nominated for IWTV Breakout Star. Just been on a like rocket ship of people that he's wrestled, people that he's defeated. You know, that's kind of the biggest thing with him. And I think that, you know, we see this with other people who kind of break out, you know, like Lee Moriarty is a good example, who kind of broke out in 2020 and had this tremendous year and kind of led him up to AEW. And we remember, you know, Lee's great matches leading up to that, but we don't necessarily remember his win-loss record, because there were some losses in there, but we don't really think about him. We just think about all the great matches he had that year. But when it comes to Alec Price, you kind of think about him in the terms of this guy rarely ever loses. Like, never loses, you know, and it's, I think it's attributed to how well he's been performing both character and in the ring, and just how much he's grown, that I think people really have to bring their A game to beat him. And it just doesn't happen very often, if at all. I mean, I have to go back and look, but 2021, I can't think of any time this guy's ever lost. So, which is, you know, and he's not some big, you know, big show looking guy that's able to go in there and dominate, but he performs every time he's there.
I think I watched a match with him and Kevin Koo. I don't remember if it's from Limitless or if it was from Beyond, but I watched it in prep for when Kevin Koo was coming for OWA, just to get a little flavor, if you will. And I honestly did not know anything about Alec Price, and I was just like, hey, this is a 10-minute match, cool, because I didn't want to watch a marathon match. I'm like, oh, this will be it. But the dude was kind of impressive. I got to give him props, because I didn't know anything about him. I'm like, eh, it's Kevin Koo. That's what I need to pay attention to. But he was darn good.
Yeah, he's like I said, he's been on a roll, and it's there's no slowing down. He was actually at the same WWE tryout as Josh Bishop. So,
oh, cool. All right, my fourth selection is a man that unfortunately has an injury. But man, if I got a promotion, Danhausen is coming to town for me. You need some comedy again. I'm obviously, you guys have probably, as you're listening to this, see that I kind of like to have a variety on my roster. And I think Danhausen is hilarious. He is probably only Malcolm Bivens is funnier than Danhausen. But I think you got to have him on the roster to give a little different taste, if you will.
Yeah, that's a tremendous pick. It's also proof of how difficult this was, because it just didn't even cross your mind. Never even crossed my mind. And I'm just like, oh, are you kidding me? Like, that's a no brainer. That belongs on every list. Yeah, for sure.
All right. How about number five?
Number five might be a guy that we have similar on the list. I'm thinking maybe I went with AC Mack, who I think is absolutely tremendous. I think he's going to be the next independent, the IWTV champion. He has that title opportunity next Friday down in Georgia against Alex Shelley. And I fully expect him to win that title and bring said title to OWA on February 20th. So that's the guy. You know, we've had him up here twice for both Good Troubles. He's coming back for Good Trouble 3. He's the only performer outside of Trey Lamar and PB Smooth that have worked all three Good Troubles. So it's gonna be great to have him back up here, and so he can kind of showcase a little bit more of what he can do in the ring. But I think he's most known for his character, his mic work, his promos, he's tremendous on the microphone, and people need to see a little bit more of what he can do in the ring. So really well-rounded there as well.
He did not make my list, but somebody that you mentioned while you were describing why you picked AC Mack is on my list. I would pick PB Smooth.
Okay.
Again, you're at 6'8", 265 or 275. He's a big dude. You need some of the big dudes. I have a couple other big dudes. I know how great that was. I just used it three times in a row. But anyways, I mean, I think you need those type of guys on the roster, and I think he fits in. You know, he's athletic. He's strong. He's got a good look, and I would certainly welcome him on the roster for Lottery Pro Wrestling.
I mean, that's a tremendous pick. We've seen a lot of his work, obviously, locally, whether it be Unsanctioned Pro, OWA, AIW, and off look and appearance and marketability alone, this mm-hmm. guy's got it all. So
mm-hmm. How about your next pick?
My next pick here, once again, someone out of that Ring of Honor kind of fallout, I guess you could say, that was kind of left without a home. Another guy that we've seen a couple times, but I think O'Shea Edwards has a tremendous upside, tremendous future in wrestling, especially from a marketability standpoint. I think he's a little bit more marketable than some of the other guys that fell out with Ring of Honor. I think he's got a unique look, also some salesman ability, with some of the stuff that he does, character wise, as well as promos and things like that. So that's a guy for me who I think is definitely just waiting for that right opportunity.
I agree with you. And again, as you said earlier, this is how difficult this is that you forget about people. And I totally forgot about O'Shea. And I'm sad to say that, because the one thing I appreciate about O'Shea is he's just backstage. He's just so personable. He's just so nice. And I know, that word gets thrown around a lot, but I really respect that out of him, is that he's, hey, how's it going, man? Good. How are you? And if he's not busy, then you could sit there and shoot the shit with him for a minute about football or something. You know what I mean? It's just like he's just so down to earth.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to describe him. All my interactions with him have been have been the same way. So,
well, I'm going to go ahead and talk about somebody that I picked up from the fallout of a Ring of Honor. Somebody that I would have on my roster, Dalton Castle.
Okay.
Got a great character, can go in the ring. If he and I feel bad too for him because I don't think he got a good enough run with the ROH World Title because of all the injuries and everything. So, not that that really matters in my promotion, but to me, Dalton Castle would be a good dude to have on the roster.
Yeah, and I think if you're going to have him and Danhausen under the same roof, you're definitely in for some great content. You know, that's they're going to provide you with that for sure. So that'll help.
Absolutely. All right, how about your next pick?
My next pick is more of a bias pick in a way. This is a guy who I think is arguably one of the best wrestlers in the world, but I think has had a little bit of controversy follow him that's kind of taken a little bit of that away from him. But I went with Chris Dickinson, who I think is just absolutely tremendous. Everything he does in the ring looks like it's a real fight, you know, regardless of who he's in there with. And you know, it's a shame that we've mentioned Ring of Honor and them closing up several times, but it's a shame that, you know, this faction that they were putting together with him and Brody and Homicide and Tony Deppen, like, dude, those guys were getting ready to make, I think, a lot of noise, especially in Ring of Honor and even beyond. You know, he's been doing a lot of work with New Japan out on the West Coast. I don't know that he's necessarily signed, but he's been doing, you know, that New Japan Strong, a lot of that stuff. So, you know, a couple injury setbacks. He's actually injured at the moment. Great year with GCW in 2020 and in 2021, you know, especially when the, you know, this is a guy who, if you look back, and it would be hard to find a lot of this information now, but if you look back at 2020 WrestleMania weekend in Tampa, this guy was set up to have arguably like the greatest independent WrestleMania weekend of all time of anyone ever. I mean, he had matches, I remember, against like Minoru Suzuki and, you know, just a couple. There were a couple other super high profile matches that people were like, oh shit, like Dickinson's about to have like this crazy weekend. And then everything got canceled and it kind of all went to shit. And, you know, he still found a way to kind of bounce back and still, you know, put out some really good matches and still work his way into some really good opportunities, including that Ring of Honor run in at the end of, I think it was the anniversary show where he, you know, they came running in at the end of the show and set kind of the internet wrestling community on fire the next day, because it was like him and Homicide coming in and attacking people, and people were like, oh shit, like these guys are back in Ring of Honor, you know? And even I at the time was like, oh, here we go. You know, Ring of Honor's about to take off again. And then, you know, it didn't go that way, but enough about that.
Well, I'm going to go with my next pick. And I don't know. I think this is one that we might share. And you spoke of Chris Dickinson being injured. I believe this individual is still injured as well. But I would love to have old Mance Warner on the, on the list. Yeah, I would. I think that, again, he brings that different kind of he brings that Southern style, and I know that people are like, that's not a thing anymore, John, but to me, like, as a kid, he's kind of the chaotic, brawling, in your face kind of character that I think you need, and I think he has the personality, you know, so I would definitely have him without a shadow of a doubt on my roster.
Another great pick. Not on my list, but
really, I thought that for sure he would be one that we would both agree on.
I think here's the problem, and I think a lot of this is recency bias, like a lot, especially in the women's division picks. I mean, that was recency bias as hell. I mean, those three out of the four I just saw this past weekend, you know, so when people aren't that fresh in your mind, it kind of tends to slip. And I think that's kind of the case with him. Although I saw him in Chicago the day before the injury, and I'm trying to think when that was, but that was, you know, not that long ago. So either way, good pick. For my last pick, I went back to the WWE releases, and this one was kind of cheating in a way because we don't, I don't know that we necessarily 100% know the status, but he's my number one favorite wrestler. So it was a no brainer for me to add him if I thought I could. And that was Johnny Gargano. So Johnny for me is just an absolute warrior. I mean, he has had wars in NXT. You know, I didn't know a lot of his independent career before NXT. I've gone back and watched some stuff since, but you know, that time spent in NXT, those battles with Adam Cole, Tommaso Ciampa, I mean, just absolute wars where this guy just left it all out there. You know, good tag team wrestler, even for, you know, being somewhat undersized, you know, he's had great matches against all opponents, big or small. So for me, Gargano is just, he's my favorite wrestler, but he's also, I think he's also in that top category.
So I have two left. My first one I'm going to pick, again, some people might scratch their head at, but I'm building a promotion. I'm going to pick Nick Aldis. Okay. I think he did fantastic work in the NWA as the champion, being the arrogant James Bond-like character. I also feel like he could be a guy like Samoa Joe that you could certainly, you know, use to help put people over and to build new stars. So I think he would be a welcome addition. And my final one, I got to be honest with you, Will, I thought you would say this person's name. I thought for certain that, as I said, Mance Warner, I thought we both agree on Danhausen as well. And I thought we would both agree Matt Mikowski. That sigh says it all, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I think he is the MMA character that you need on a roster. He does some crazy stuff. Like, I just saw that clip. I think you sent it out to us where he does that arm bar from the top rope. Like, it was fucking crazy. And I'm like, dude, that dude is athletic as all get out. You know, I've seen him on a Paradigm show, and I think he's got the look. He's got the character. He looks like he's a dude that if you met him in the bar and you disrespected him, he'd slap the shit out of you. So there's that believability to him. I just think that he would be somebody you'd have to have on the roster.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I just saw him this weekend as well. So that's kind of crazy. You know, he's tremendous. There's so many other people that, you know, if this was top 20, top 50, you'd still be leaving people out.
Oh, absolutely. You know?
And it's just one of those ones where it's like, oh man, that one just didn't, you know, somehow just didn't instantly come to me because I was kind of like digging deep. You know, sometimes you dig too deep when the answer is right on the surface and you're 20 meters below, you know? So that's kind of how that happened.
And like I said, man, you know, just building a promotion around 8 male wrestlers and 4 female wrestlers and 2 tag teams is a challenge too, because, you know, as I said, we're going to kind of do it territory style. We'll bring people in and run them through for a couple of months and then move them out. But these are the ones that they're the mainstays, so to speak.
Yeah. And I mean, you can even, yeah, for sure. I mean, I was even thinking like in my mind about matches between the 8 individuals, you know, what kind of fantasy booking could I get out of, you know, first pick versus 8th pick, or, you know, how could I match these guys up without even bringing anyone else? If I just wanted to run off this top 8, you know, how well could I match them up? But man, there's so many more people just as these conversations was unfolding where I was just like, man, like, a guy like Tom Lawler, you know, like just not even what never crossed my mind, but tremendous. Trey Lamar, you know, we could sit here all night and just be like, absolutely. Oh, what about, you know, X, Y, Z, you know what I mean? It's just, it's crazy how talented it is out there right now. And, you know, is it all positive thing? You know, is there some negative to be found in there? Is it too convoluted? Is there way too much good stuff right now? I don't know if that's possible, but you know, I could see the argument.
Yeah, man. And you know what, being the old guy here on this podcast, I can remember, you know, there's 2003, 2004, 2005, the indies were not thriving, man. So it's something that is absolutely awesome in capital letters that it's been happening over these last 10 years or whatnot. But, you know, I remember the time when the indies were not the greatest.
Yeah, I kind of came in on the start of what was, like, people were telling me it was kind of like an exodus when, like, Kevin Owens and those guys started going to WWE, and it was like, oh, the indies are thinning out again, you know, all these people are getting signed and so on and so forth, and NXT was starting and a lot of independent wrestlers went to NXT, and they, you know, that whole kind of thing started exploding, and then WWE was just taking any and everybody they could. But then there was also, you know, that was like 2016, and then, you know, we kind of saw WWE just expand too large, try to take up as much independent talent as possible, but they just kept coming out of, you know, different avenues, you know, and there's all this talent, and they're like, hey, you can't take us all, because these people are still coming in, and guys like Lee Moriarty are just coming up, and Trey Lamar and these guys. So, you know, it seemed like it was going to like phase out a little bit, but I think the talent was like, nah, like, we're not going to allow this to die, and we're going to continue to keep putting out quality entertainment that's going to keep this machine running. And it's probably more popular than it's ever been.
And you know what? We hopefully will see Ring of Honor back on its feet, and hopefully MLW will continue to expand and do great things, and GCW will continue to expand and do great things, because the bottom line is, and I know you'll probably agree with this, Will, the more choices, the better.
Yeah, for sure. We want there to be as many, I guess, opportunities, especially for the performers to have places to go to work, but also for, you know, for the fans, if you don't like watching X, Y, and Z, or you don't like watching so-and-so, you know, that's not the only choice. Just go over here and watch these guys instead. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, this is more my speed. This is guys that I like. You know, you and I have been talking in the group chat a lot about AEW recently, and less about WWE. And it's like, hey, this is kind of, they're providing the entertainment that I enjoy right now. They seem to be doing a little bit better in some of the things that I like. So I'm going to stick around over here for a little while. 2-3 years from now, maybe it's the other way around, and it's back to, you know, I can't wait for Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, you know? So it could be that way. It could not be that way.
Well, time will tell. Let's go ahead and start wrapping things up. Will, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you on the social medias?
Yeah, so on Twitter, I am at the Weapon X. The Weapon X spelling is W34PONX, because that was really cool in the late 90s. And on Instagram, I am just W34PONX. So someone has Weapon X on Twitter, and I can't get it. So
I only laugh because behind the scenes, a few months ago, you had to email something to me, and I gave you my personal email address, and you're like, what is this? I'm like, never mind. Just never mind. It was the 90s, man.
Right.
It would be
right.
Cool to have that as an email address, you know?
Right.
Well, definitely check out Will. Check out his installments on the Pro Wrestling Ponderings podcast, as well as Unsanctioned Pro. Dude, this was fun, and I appreciate you coming on, dude.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun. Just glad to reconnect and make content in some fashion. It had it had been a while. I think ever since I told Joey that Sting was overrated and he flipped over your dining room table, I think I wasn't invited back after that. So, you know, it's good to reconnect. And obviously, you know, we make content and work for OWA on various things. So, you know, we still see each other frequently. But yeah, good catching up and good talking some independent wrestling. And hopefully we draw some people in to listen to our crazy thoughts.
I thought you were going to say for a minute, and hopefully we win the lottery.
Well, yeah, that too.
All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen.
Split this list.
That's right. There you go. If we win enough money, we can just combine both lists. But
there you go.
But anyways, go. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Will and I discussing our rosters for our fictitious wrestling company, Lottery Pro Wrestling. Will certainly got the best of me on that over-under, huh? I mean, I seriously thought that we were going to tie with three similar talents on our rosters, and here it only was one. So, Will, you won that bet, my man. But definitely check out Will, as you heard him give out all of his social medias on the episode, and also check him out when we return, and I say we because I'll be in tow, to OWA on February 20th at the King of Clubs in North Columbus. Just check out Ohio Wrestling A1 on social media to get more details, such as tickets and whatnot. And if I may, I'd also like to highlight that the first weekend in March, I am very excited to be back with New Ohio Wrestling at the Arnold Classic. That's right, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there's going to be some great NOW action that you do not want to miss. So definitely check out newohiowrestling.net, which is the website for the company, and get all the details as to when, where, and all that stuff. We're very excited to be back at the Arnold, and looking forward to entertaining each and every one of you that stops by to check out NOW. And hey, you know what? I'm just going to throw it out there. Maybe you're not in Ohio and you're listening somewhere else in the country. Support your local indie wrestling company. There you go. Enough said. Because if it wasn't for the indies, then the superstars that you watch on WWE and AEW and all those other outlets, they wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the indies. So support your local indie. If you're in Ohio, if you're in California, if you're in Alaska, or you're in Canada, whatever, support indie wrestling. There, I said it like four times. I hope you will remember that. But in case you don't, you can email me so that I can remind you to support indie wrestling. That's right. My email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. I can even do it via Twitter because my personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. And you could even ask me to remind you through the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just look for @pvdcast. And now that I've reminded you as to where you can get in touch with me through my social medias and whatnot, let me also remind you about the PVD cast and where you can hear it. Well, basically, it's available through all of those major podcasting platforms. All you have to do is go to that platform or that app, type in PVD cast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should be able to find it. But you can also check it out through the online home of yours truly. That's pvdcast.com. And if you listen to an episode, please, please help me out by rating and reviewing. It helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, subscribing means you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. And if you want one more way that's quick and easy to hear each weekly episode of the PVD cast, go on over to the Facebook page. On Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a live Facebook broadcast. You can hear the episode. If you have questions or comments, you can leave them in that section. And I will respond because I sit in the office and I listen and I watch the computer monitor, make sure that if anybody has questions, I respond to them right away. It's a whole lot of fun. So don't forget, Facebook broadcast, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Monday night. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wrap things up and get on out of here. I want to thank you for checking out the episode one more time. So I will chat in each and every one of you later. And as always, stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2022.